ready for chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verses 22 through 25. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Last week I introduced the passage in 1 Peter chapter 1 beginning in 13 as the beginning of a new segment in Peter's letter. He's writing to a church that is somewhat beleaguered and somewhat afflicted by some form of trial or tribulation. And the very first thing that Peter did in this context was to talk about the church's identity in Christ. And so the first portion of his letter speaks about who we are in Jesus Christ. After that, this next segment that begins in his letter are a set of imperatives that flow out of the identity that we have in Christ. In verse 13, the series of very practical implications or practical imperatives began, and this passage continues with another imperative. Last week there were a series of seven or eight different imperatives, and this one has just one imperative, and that is found in the middle of verse 22, love one another fervently with a pure heart. The rest of the verses attach to that imperative and tell us how and why it is that we can do this thing, how it is we can love one another fervently with a pure heart. Before we get to the how and the why, let's see what it is that we are being called to do. And it's very interesting that Peter would be addressing a church that is under persecution in this way. He's addressing a church that was suffering some type of trial or tribulation with imperatives. Do you know what a turtle does when it's threatened? Vinny and Will, do you know what a turtle does when it's threatened? What does a turtle do? Vinny?
It's safe.
That's right. That's not what I. That does happen, doesn't it? William, what does a turtle do when it's threatened? You have some turtles? Yeah, so a turtle will usually curl up and hide, although I have been bitten by a turtle before, too, so I should know that. Often a turtle will curl up and hide when it's threatened, right? What do you do in times of persecution and in times of trial?
Sometimes you bite.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes we bite, and sometimes we curl up in our shells, we retreat. But look at what Paul or what Peter has been doing, and especially in this imperative, he says to love one another fervently. So instead of withdrawing like a turtle or biting everyone around you, the imperative or the command is to be bound together in love and to be bound together in a way that there is that you identify the help that's in the body around you. This may sound familiar, but Ecclesiastes says that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Do you know what that means? A piece of thread itself is a wound cord, but a piece of thread you can probably break with your hands, right? Wind together three pieces of thread at home, and you'll find that you're going to have a tough time getting those three threads to break. And Ecclesiastes goes on to say that two are better than one, because where there are two, when one falls down, the other is there to help restore and to lift up. When one rejoices, the other rejoices with it. When one weeps, the other weeps with. And in trials, in the Christian church and in the Christian faith, there is this type of bond of unity, a bond that draws us together, it holds us together in a way that gives us strength and comfort. It's that call that Peter puts before us to love one another fervently with a pure heart. He modifies that, I like the way he modifies that, both with fervently and with a pure heart. And fervently means with great desire to not let go of that love or that commitment to each other. And with a pure heart means that it comes not with any self-seeking desire or manipulation or guile, but truly considering the needs of one another. And so here's what Peter gives to us in the midst of our trial, is that, and if you find yourself today or this week facing persecution, or you feel weary in the battle, Peter commands us to love one another fervently with a pure heart. Give yourself to the fellowship of the body of Christ in a way that you find comfort and help. At the same time, be prepared to receive that call for help. Be prepared to be the one to either to lift up the one who is downtrodden without any self-seeking motive, without looking down on the trial that's being faced, but in a way that does indeed lift up rather than tear down. Be prepared to be vulnerable with someone else. The turtle defense that I'm familiar with is the withdrawal and the separation. And you can do that in the body of Christ as well. You can experience a trial or discouragement or temptation, and the withdrawal leaves you further exposed to temptation and trial. But if there's a transparency and a depending on the body, that is, there's a vulnerability that's in that. And as you're vulnerable with someone else, seeking God's help through them, that's a place where God ministers by this fervent love for one another. So, just to summarize this imperative, and then get to the how and the why. The application for us in the midst of persecution is twofold from Peter. First, see your identity in Christ. And second of all, get to work. Lump this in with the imperatives that came in the passage before. Gird up the loins of your mind. Roll up your sleeves. So instead of withdrawing, be busy about the work of Christ. See your identity in him and be busy about that work. So the how and the why are the phrases that surround this imperative. Verse 22 says, since you have purified your souls. We might be able to summarize this in the context of the rest of the letter as, since the gospel has borne fruit in you. It's been shown in this verse in one very important way. Since you have purified your souls, how? In obeying the truth. That obeying the truth is the expression of our faith. And you know the old adage that we believe that we are justified by faith alone. but that faith that justifies never stands alone. It gives evidence of itself in the obedience to God's word. So here is the purification that comes as an evidence of the work of the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit is mentioned in this clause. We obey the truth through the Spirit. He is what Matthew Henry calls the agent of our purification. And further application of that, or further development of that, we have purified our souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. And it's a vicious cycle, but it's not vicious. It's a self-feeding cycle that is a good cycle. In this case, a sincere love of the brethren, and on the basis of that sincere love of the brethren, Peter says to love the brethren fervently. There's the cycle that is feeding on itself. And it's obedience, by the way, that is expressed in brotherly love. And I especially like that phrase because just reflecting on the way we get along with each other is an expression of obedience, whereas there are times where we can, in the name of obedience to Christ, can run roughshod over everyone around us, and this obedience is expressed in brotherly love. Another modifying statement comes in verse 23 that helps us understand the how and the why. Having been born again, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again. I appreciated the way the New Geneva Study Bible described this. They say that genuine and enduring love for others is possible only because of the love God has first shown us in giving us the new birth in Christ. You might think of 1 John, where it says, we love him because he first loved us. And there's a mystery here in the pattern of the Christian life, a mystery of holiness that we've touched on before, that God is at work in us. And the way he's at work in us is to will and to do his good pleasure. God works and we work. God is the prime mover, and we do respond. And here Peter puts it, you have purified your soul. This purification is through the Holy Spirit and having been born again. Peter describes this by using a contrast describing our natural birth and our supernatural birth. He talks about corruptible seed and incorruptible seed. And just to make sure you understand what that word means, let me ask if somebody 15 and younger knows what corruptible means. What is it to be corrupted or corruptible, Paige? It is
troublemaker.
Yeah, when we meet someone who is a troublemaker, we might say that their morals have been corrupted, or that any Christian virtue has been corrupted, and that's a good example of corruption. Another way to talk about corruption is, it can be destroyed. That's another good way. And that, someone whose morals have been corrupted, they've been destroyed. They're no longer in existence. And a seed that is corruptible is a seed that decays. It can be ground up, it can be burned, or just by age will be destroyed. Incorruptible, though, in means the opposite. So if the natural man is corruptible, it can be destroyed, can decay. What does it mean to be incorruptible? Abigail? Cannot be destroyed. And that's the spiritual life that we have. Paige?
Strong.
Yeah. That's right. Abigail?
Invincible.
Yeah. It cannot be defeated, cannot be destroyed. There's a strength there. And this is how we have been born again. And can you see how that serves to feed the command that Peter has given? That we have been born of God. We've been born of an incorruptible seed. That's a life that cannot be taken away. It cannot be destroyed, no matter what man will do against it. Man might come against us and in the worst case scenario, he may destroy our bodies. He may destroy everything about this life that we love, but he cannot destroy the seed of Christ in us. And that inheritance can never be taken away. And again, I want you to see how that feeds then the expression of life in the body of Christ. There isn't anything that can take away our identity in Christ. And so we are strengthened and encouraged in our service one to another. That seed is also compared, that being born again is identified as happening through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Not only here does Peter compare the gift of God in our inheritance to an incorruptible seed, but he also compares the Word of God to something incorruptible. And that's clear in the way that he quotes Isaiah 40, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." So not only is our identity in Christ said to be incorruptible, but that very source, which is the source of our life, but the means of God's working in us, the word of God is incorruptible as well. It cannot be destroyed or turned aside from its purpose. The Word of God lives and abides forever. God uses this Word to work the new birth and to work holiness in us. In it, He uses the Word that cannot be destroyed or diverted to strengthen us in times of persecution and to help us in time of need. In that light, I'd like to ask you to consider how you can use that word to be a minister of life around you, how you can use that word to purify yourself, and how you can use the word to love one another. And those are some questions that I'll ask you to take home with you from this passage in 1 Peter, how you can use the words to be a minister of life, to purify yourself, and to love one another, and encourage you to think about those things personally and to talk about them together as a family. As we close today, though, let me draw you back to the imperative that this passage gives to us, that you love one another fervently with a pure heart, and to see the application especially of the opportunity to grow together by being knit together in this body of Christ, to find those special friends that can hold you up, and the special friends that you can hold up in Christ, and to practice this especially, the love of the brethren, fervently with a pure heart. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the work of Christ in us and the incorruptible seed that you have given to us. Lord, since we have been born again and born from above, I pray that you would give us courage to face the trials of this life and to do so in a way that sees very clearly the brothers and sisters in Christ that are around us. I pray that you would help us to see how we can be an encouragement to each other and see how we can find help from other brothers and sisters in Christ in our time of need. Lord, help us to build one another up and to be an encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.